Shall we pray? Father, we bless you and thank you for the immense power, O God, that has been given to us through the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. That resurrection power that is meant to be worked into us so that we will come alive to your saving grace, Father. That resurrection power that is available to each one of us in the name of Jesus. And Father, as we speak, O God, of all that you have for us in the processes of salvation, we will understand, O God, the immense power, O God, that is available to each and every one of us, wherever we are, Father, to receive and realize all that you have given to us in the Lord Jesus Christ. We commit this time into your hands, Father, and we pray that you will speak into our lives in the fullness of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you will release your word into us, that as we go into the sin offering today, Father, that we will understand, O God, the dimensions in which, O God, this awesome privilege, O God, of salvation has been given to us through the fulfillment of the law and the prophets, Father. And in the unveiling of this sin offering, Father, we know, Lord, that you will show us dimensions of realities that you have for us, O God, in the fulfillment of your word. So bless us, O God, in the name of Jesus. Let everything that is within us be open to who you are and to all that you are. Let everything that is within us, O God, bless your holy name. Let everything that is within us be washed and sanctified in the blood of Jesus, Father. Let everything that is within us be washed in renewal and regeneration by the Holy Spirit, Father. Let your word be released into us. And let your word come forth, O God, in us. In the fullness of the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask this, we pray this, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. We are on part 3 of module 6, which is the module on salvation. And this is tape 2 of this part 3. Let us start by looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. I'm reading from the New American Standard. For the word of the cross is to those who are perishing foolishness, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. It is the power of God. And that's what we want to introduce today. The power of God. We introduced that in tape 1. I just want to review that before we go into the sin offering. This word of the cross actually opens to us from the law that was written by Moses, from the law that God gave Moses. So you find that the roots of the word of the cross need to be understood from the law of Moses, because the word of the cross is meant to unveil to us the fulfillment of that law, because Jesus came to fulfill the law and the prophets. And the power that God released in the word of the cross enables that fulfillment. And we want to talk about that power before we talk about the sin offering. Alright? The Greek word for power here is the Greek word dunamis. Alright? The power of God. And the power of God unveils to us through the word of the cross. What about the power of God? What is it called? Let's turn first to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19. This is a passage that you are familiar with because we have done this. It is in the flow of the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. But verse 19 tells us about something that unveils in the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And verse 19 reads like this: "And what is the surpassing greatness of his power towards us who believe?" What is the surpassing greatness of his power to us who believe? Now, Greek word there for power is also dunamis, and it's called the surpassing greatness of his power. And it's available to us who believe. And this power is unveiled to us, and the rest of the verse reads, "These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might, the Father's might, which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand." All right. So when the Father raised Jesus Christ from the dead, he manifested in him the surpassing greatness of his power. He manifested in him that power that is meant to bring into us the fulfillment of God's word. You know that we are born again through the living and abiding word of God. We did that in part 1 of this module 6. All right. So let's talk about this power. It's again referred to in Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. Let's turn to that. And Paul refers to it this way: that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. And the power of his resurrection. So this power that is released to us through the word of the cross, this power that is given to us in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, is called resurrection power. And this resurrection power is very important for us to understand. All right, let's now look at Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. And he is the radiance of his glory, the Father's glory. I'm reading from the New American Standard. If you have a New King James, there are slightly different wordings. And the exact representation of his nature, and upholds all things by the word of his power. Now this tells us that this power that God released in Jesus Christ has a defined purpose. And it says here that Jesus Christ upholds all things by the word of his power. The Greek word for word there is rhema. And from John 6:63, you know that the rhema that stands in the testimony of Jesus is of his spirit and it is of his life. Right? It is of his spirit and it is of his life. So in the spirit and life of Jesus that stands in this rhema word, there is a power. And that power has a purpose. It is meant to unveil all things in accordance with the Father's will. And we must understand that. Alright? So this power is available to us. Now where is it available to us? Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us. Now the Greek word for power there is dunamis. And this power is meant to work inside of us. Amen? So this power is very personal to each and every one of us. And it says there that God will give us and do for us exceedingly abundantly beyond all that we ask or even think, but it will be according to the power that works within us. So how is that power going to be manifested to us? Through the word. And we are talking about the living and abiding word. We are talking about the word that is revealed inside of us. We are not talking about the word that comes to the intellect of man. This is word that God has to reveal inside of you. It has to be open to your heart. And this word unveils the power that is working inside of you. So in each one of us who are born again Christians here, there is a power working within us. And as we receive and realize more and more of God's revealed word, this power that works within us increases. It grows. And in this growing power, God wants to bring into our lives exceedingly abundantly beyond all that we ask or even think. Praise the Lord. Amen. So we want to see this power in the context of the word of the cross. Why? Because there is no meaning to salvation without the cross of Jesus Christ. And we need to understand that salvation, right, has to be understood very carefully, because salvation is the basic process that God is working inside of us. If you go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 18, it tells you that the word of the cross, right, is the power of God to us who are being saved. Being saved, that means there is a process of salvation being worked into us, all right? There is a process of salvation being worked into us. And that process of salvation, right, we have to identify, understand, and pursue, and ultimately communicate that into the lives of others. Praise the Lord. Amen. So let's go to the book of Leviticus to understand the first feast, first sacrifice that was in the Jewish calendar. Right. Not calendar, it was just It was the first sacrifice that was executed. And it was called the sin offering. So let's turn to Leviticus chapter 4, verse 1. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the sons of Israel, saying, if a person sins unintentionally in any of the things which the Lord has commanded not to be done, and commits any of them, if the anointed priest sins so as to bring guilt on the people, then let him offer to the Lord a bull without defect as a sin offering for the sin he has committed." The first thing you need to understand about the sin offering is that it is for unintentional sin. Alright? Unintentional sin. The sin we commit by nature. That puts a perspective on sin. That's why the righteousness of man is filthy rags. Because man is by nature sinful. Because his nature is a fallen nature. Are you with me? Amen? So the sin offering tells us that the first thing God demands is an offering for sin that we commit unintentionally. Amen? Praise the Lord. Okay? Sin that we commit unintentionally. And that's very important for us to understand that in the sin offering, God is telling us that He will set us free from unintentional sin. Now, how does He set us free from unintentional sin? Let's take cross-reference to 2 Peter chapter 1 from verse 3 and 4. Listen to the words. Verse 3 reads, "Seeing that His divine power," so we are talking about that power, dunamis power, the power that comes to us through the word of the cross, "seeing that His divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness," everything pertaining to life and godliness, "through the true knowledge of Him," that is Jesus Christ, "who called us by His own glory and excellence. For by these He has granted to us His precious and magnificent promises, in order that by them you might become partakers of the divine nature." And so the fulfillment of the sin offering in us is in us becoming partakers of the divine nature. And that's the only way you can be set free from unintentional sin. You need to receive the nature that is of God. That nature that God communicates to us through the Lord Jesus Christ. So if you look at the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ, you will understand that sacrifice, the key in that sacrifice was the nature of the person who was put on the cross. And his nature is God's answer to unintentional sin. It is also God's answer to deliberate sin as well. But today we are looking at unintentional sin, the sin offering. Alright, praise the Lord. So there is power that has been manifested to us in the Lord Jesus Christ's resurrection that will grant us everything pertaining to life and godliness. Amen. It will enable us to live a new life, and it will enable us to come forth as a godly people. Now, through the sin offering, you understand that is through God unveiling in us a new nature. Praise the Lord. So every time you hear the word of God, you need to understand that inherent, inbuilt inside of the word of God, the Rhema word of God, is a nature that you and I need. And when that nature comes inside of us, it brings forth in us change. And all of us here who have been touched by the Lord know that God has changed us. Now that change came through the nature of the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Now let's look at the details of the sin offering. Let's turn back to Leviticus chapter 4. Verse 4, "And he shall bring the bull to the doorway of the tent of meeting before the Lord, and he shall lay his hand on the head of the bull and slay the bull before the Lord." Amen. So the bull was slain before the doorway of the tent of meeting. Alright? And basically the throat of the bull was slit, and the blood was collected in a bowl. Verse 5. Then the anointed priest is to take some of the blood of the bull and bring it to the tent of meeting. And the priest shall dip his finger in the blood and sprinkle some of the blood seven times before the Lord in front of the veil of the sanctuary. That is, in the veil that was before the tent of meeting, right? At that veil, he had to sprinkle the blood seven times. All right? Seven times. Now, the reason why he sprinkled the blood seven times is because seven represents perfection in the Bible. Seven represents perfection, and seven also represents the process of being perfected. Amen? Perfection. Right? Let's turn to Matthew chapter 5, verse 48. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 5, verse 48. These are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ to us. Matthew chapter 5, verse 48. Therefore, you are to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. You are to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. And it's very interesting that that process of becoming perfect as our heavenly Father is perfect unveils to us through the sin offering. Amen. It unveils to us in the sprinkling of the blood. Now, what do you see in the blood of Jesus? The blood of Jesus was shed for us. Shed for us in faith, shed for us in love, shed for us in a reality of a nature that forgave us our sins. Amen? Are you with me? So in the blood of Jesus, there is a reality of the faith and love and nature of the Lord Jesus Christ for us in forgiveness. Amen? Praise the Lord. And that's why the blood was sprinkled seven times. Because the faith of Jesus is a perfect faith. The love of Jesus is a perfect love. And the nature of the Lord Jesus Christ is a perfect nature. And his forgiveness is a perfect forgiveness. So in the perfection of Jesus Christ was demonstrated on the cross and then vindicated by God when he raised him from the dead. Are you with me? Now let's look at Romans chapter 1 verse 3 and 4. Romans chapter 1 verse 3 and 4. Concerning his son who was born of a descendant of David according to the flesh, who was declared the Son of God with power, right? With power, by the resurrection from the dead, according to the Spirit of holiness, Jesus Christ. According to the Spirit of holiness. Now, holiness is the highest attribute of God. Only God is holy. But Jesus Christ, going through the cross, manifested his Spirit, which he surrendered to the Father even as he died. He surrendered that Spirit, and God judged that Spirit, and that Spirit was the Spirit of holiness. Pure, undefiled, perfect. Praise the Lord. Amen. Notice the use of the word power there. Right? So, it is the power invested in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ that is going to communicate this reality of perfection into us. Amen? And it's going to communicate that reality of perfection to us through the Rhema word. Amen? The Rhema word that is of the Spirit and life of Jesus. Amen? Now, in the Rhema word that carries the Spirit and life of Jesus stands the reality of his nature, his character, his personality, his thinking, his faith, his love, amen, his forgiveness. All of these things stand in that Rhema word, amen, and it's the means by which God brings change and transformation into us through a power that works into us. You see, the power that God has given through the cross of Jesus Christ is a power that works very subtly. It's very powerful, but it does not work in the way in which magicians work power. Right? The frog does not become a prince. Although it does in the longer sense, right?
frogs like us become princes, actually. Right? So God does do it, but he does not do it in an instant. He does that over a period of time. He does that over a period of time because the process of change always involves our free will. It always involves our response. It always involves, right, our response to what God is saying. Amen? So that's why the Word of God is given to us as a covenant, right? It is brought into our lives as a covenant. What is a covenant? A covenant is fundamentally a contract, right? God makes the offer, you accept it. When you accept it, there is a contract. There is a basis for covenant. But the basis of covenant is in the merits of the Lord Jesus Christ. That covenant is made because God is saying through Jesus Christ, this covenant can come to pass. You will be changed, you will be transformed, you will be formed and fashioned in the image and fullness of my Son. And therefore, I can make a covenant with you. And that covenant will stand because in making that covenant with you, I will manifest his nature inside of you. And in his nature, right, you will be able to stand in covenant with me. In his faith and his love, perfected and completed into you, you will be able to stand with covenant with me. You will be able to obey me. You will be able to worship me. You will be able to glorify me. You will be able to be perfect even as I am perfect. Are you listening? Right? But that whole process of this great blessing that God has for each and every one of us, that whole process begins at the sin offering. And we must understand that the sin offering is for us to bring into us a new nature. And this new nature is a nature that is perfect. Are you willing? Are you listening? Why is it important for us to have a perfect nature? Because if you don't have the right nature, you will ruin everything God gives you. Right? It does not matter how anointed you are. If you do not have the right nature, you will misuse every anointing. Just look at Lucifer. He was called the anointed cherub. Amen? Every blessing was given to him. Right? Every anointing was given to him. But he could not stand and keep the anointing. Why? Because he didn't have the nature to hold it. Right? He compromised it. Right? So God brings into us a nature. Amen? A nature that stands in Jesus Christ. It stands in his testimony. It stands alive inside of us by the Holy Spirit. And that nature, which is being communicated to you through the Word, is what is going to stand and enable this sin offering to be fulfilled in your life, making you partakers of the divine nature. Are you listening? So the priest sprinkling blood 7 times before the veil of the tent of meeting is very important. Amen? Praise the Lord. Because the next thing he does, let's go back to Leviticus chapter 4. The next thing that the priest does is that he goes into the tent of meeting, which is also called the holy place. Amen? He goes into the tent of meeting. Leviticus chapter 4. Leviticus chapter 4, verse 7. The priest shall also put some of the blood on the horns of the altar of fragrance incense, which is before the Lord in the tent of meeting. And all the blood of the bull he shall pour out at the base of the altar of burnt offering, which is at the doorway of the tent of meeting. What does the priest do? After sprinkling the blood 7 times, he goes inside the tent of meeting. He goes to the innermost part of the tent of meeting, and there is an altar there called the altar of incense, and he puts blood there. Then he takes that bowl of blood, he walks out of the tent of meeting, goes back to the altar that is in the outer court, and he pours the blood at the base of that altar, and that altar is called the altar of the burnt offering. You will find that in the Jewish practice, that the burnt offering always followed the sin offering. The sin offering was first and the burnt offering was next. The sin offering laid the foundation for the burnt offering to be offered. Without the sin offering, there could be no burnt offering. Burnt offering is the offering of consecration. Alright? So the blood was put on the altar of incense. Are you listening? Right? And that blood that was put on the altar of incense represents something. All right? Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse 14 and 15. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14 and 15. But thanks be to God, who always leads us in His triumph in Christ, and manifests through us the sweet aroma of the knowledge of Him in every place. For we are a fragrance of Christ to God, among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. Very important for us to understand this. See, the altar of incense was about a fragrance coming forth, right? And that fragrance came forth, and there was another curtain that divided the holy place or the tent of meeting from the Holy of Holies. And that altar of incense manifested fragrance. Here it is telling you that that fragrance represents the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. All right? The knowledge of Him. The knowledge of Him unveils as a fragrance. Listening? The knowledge of Him unveils as a fragrance. Praise the Lord. This is what you must understand. Jesus gave Himself to you. And as you grow in the Lord, it is the knowledge of Him that represents that groweth. And that knowledge of Him is to be unveiled from your heart as a fragrance. Are you with me? Amen? Because of the sin offering being fulfilled, you can go into the tent of meeting. So you and I just had a time of worship. In that time of worship, we communed with God. On what basis did we commune with God? On the basis of the blood sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. We did not commune with God. We did not experience God's presence because we are good guys. We experienced God's presence and we communed with God only because of the blood of Jesus. That's what the sin offering is telling us. Hello. We didn't pay the price. Hello. He paid the price. And when you understand the Jewish sacrifices, you will understand that we cannot pay the price. The price is paid by the Lord Jesus Christ. You go into the tent of meeting and God anoints you for the ministry. God anoints you and makes you, right, an instrument of His grace. All that stands in the price that Jesus Christ paid. Because you and I have no right to go into the tent of meeting in our own merits. It is only because of the sprinkled blood. So you and I cannot boast. We go in there by grace upon grace. And that grace stands in the merits of the Lamb. Amen? Praise the Lord. From the tent of meeting, we know that what opens to us is the reality that is called the Mount of the Lord. Now, how high we rise into the Mount of the Lord depends on the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Listening? It depends on the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ that is inherently manifested in our heart in revelation knowledge. Amen? That's why in Holy Communion, Jesus says, "Remember me." Because it is your knowing of me that will unveil this Passover into the Mount of the Lord. It will establish your position before God. It's very important for you to understand that. Amen. Let's just look at that by looking at Luke chapter 22, verse 14 and 15. Luke chapter 22, verse 14 and 15. Verse 15 and 16 rather. And he said to them, "I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I shall never again eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." This Passover, right? This Passover he has earnestly desired to see manifested as a fulfillment of the kingdom of God. Amen? Where is the kingdom of God? It is within you. Where is the kingdom of God? It is amongst us. Amen? And the reality of that kingdom of God described in Luke chapter 17, verse 20 and 21, right, is within you. Amen? Where is the power of God working? Within you. When you were born again, what happened? You were able to see the kingdom of God.
When you are born of water and spirit, what does Jesus say? You enter the kingdom of God. Now, where is entry into the kingdom of God? It's from inside of you. Right? Are you listening? It is from inside of you. Amen? How do you enter into the kingdom of God from inside of you? Through this word called hope. Through this word called hope. Where do we find the verse for that? Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, a hope both sure and steadfast, and one which enters within the veil. Praise the Lord, within the veil. Amen. Now, on the Day of Atonement, which was one of the feasts of the Jewish Passover, of the Jewish calendar, the 10th day of the 7th month of the Jewish calendar, they had something called the Day of Atonement. And on the Day of Atonement, the sin offering was offered. And it was the only time in which the priest could go into the Holy of Holies. But the offering by which the priest took into the Holy of Holies was the sin offering. Right? So he sprinkled blood on the altar of incense, and then he took incense with him and he sprinkled blood on the ark. Right? He sprinkled blood on the ark once a year. So, in the new covenant, where the sin offering has been fulfilled, the Lord tells us here, right? The Holy Spirit tells us that hope in the Lord Jesus Christ takes you behind the veil. Amen? Praise the Lord. Amen? Hope in the Lord Jesus Christ takes you behind the veil in His merits. Are you listening? Right? So we have all experienced that reality, and it tells you that your soul can actually be anchored behind the veil. Now, we are talking here about spiritual truths. We are not talking here about intellectual things. Now, these are things you can only discern with your spirit. You cannot intellectually discern these things, because these are not intellectual things. God is talking about spiritual things. Right? Your soul being anchored behind the veil is a spiritual reality. And it's a spiritual reality that stands in you, setting your hope on what Jesus has done for you. Amen? Let me show you another verse. 1 John chapter 3, verse 3. 1 John chapter 3, verse 3. And everyone who has this hope fixed on him purifies himself just as he is pure. Praise the Lord. Why does that happen? Because when you set your hope on the Lord Jesus Christ, God activates a power in your life that purifies you. He activates a power within you that enables you to become a partaker of the divine nature. And that partaker of the divine nature is you receiving the nature of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that verse tells you, as you set your hope on the Lord Jesus Christ, you are purified even as the Lord Jesus is pure. Isn't that exciting? You don't have to stand on your head. All this is grace. Hello, all this is grace. You don't have to fast 40 days and 40 nights to get into this reality. All you have to do is to set your hope on the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. This is what is called grace. Right? And we are a people of grace. Remember that verse, John chapter 1, verse 16. My favorite Bible verse. Of His fullness, we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. I'm quoting from the New American Standard. Of His fullness we have all received. How was His fullness given to us? Through a sacrifice. And His fullness is given to us grace upon grace. Isn't that nice? Amen? Grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. And what did the law tell us? That you and I are sinners. The law told us that the wages of sin is death. The law told us that we are a wicked people. But thank God for Jesus Christ. For grace and truth,
Truth sets you free. Grace brings into you the faith and love of Jesus. Grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ, realized inside of you. And in grace and truth, God sets you free. God enabled you to do what you cannot do. Are you listening? Amen. Praise the Lord. Let me show you the verse on grace that is very important for you to understand. 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 14. 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 14. And the grace of our Lord was more than abundant. Why was it more than abundant? With the faith and love which are found in Christ Jesus. Whose faith and love is that? That's the faith and love of Jesus. Amen? So we have defined grace here. Grace is in the faith and love of Jesus. Amen? And through the faith and love of Jesus, a perfect faith and a perfect love, all change is possible. Praise the Lord. Of His fullness we have all received, and grace upon grace. Why grace upon grace? Because the fullness of Jesus Christ is being communicated to you in the faith and love of Jesus. Listening? Amen. For the law was given through Moses. And the law just condemned the human race, right? Shut us up under sin. Shut us up under the judgments of God. But grace and truth were realized. Grace and truth were realized. Grace releases to you the faith and love of Jesus. Amen? So the grace that releases the faith and love of Jesus manifests the truth that sets you free. And it's a realization inside of you. It's a realization in your inward parts. Amen? And in that realization, God is unveiling to you the fullness of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Are you listening? Because the faith and love of Jesus, the truth, was all manifested through the cross. Hello. In the end, Jesus talked many things. He taught many things. In the end, all of His teaching, all of His proclamations, all of His prophecies, everything was put to test on the cross. Amen? And God says that whatever He declared, manifested in His Spirit, was unveiled in holiness unto God. Amen? Praise the Lord. So Jesus did for us what we will never do for ourselves. Amen? That's why we can be saved. Because in the blood of Jesus, there is a faith and a love that is operating over us. Amen? That's why no matter how many mistakes we make, God is still there working with us. And we can still realize change. We can still realize transformation. There is a power that is being released to us, and that power is real. It is not bluff. It is not some religious mumbo jumbo. It's truth. We are being changed by what God has given us in Christ Jesus. That's why it is very important that you do not replace what Jesus has done with religious practices. Hello. That's one of the mistakes we have done in the Christian church. We have replaced, without us understanding it, so many things that is available to us in Christ Jesus with practices. Hello. And we have nice words for those practices. Hello. We've got words like Bible study. We've got words like worship. We've got words like prayer. We've got words like reading the Bible. And if you look at Christian history, those words took the place of what Jesus has done for us. Don't get me wrong. I'm not telling you not to pray. I'm not telling you not to worship God. Neither am I telling you that you should not read the Bible. What I'm telling you is that those things in themselves mean nothing without Jesus Christ. Right? You read the Bible to discover the word in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Because the knowledge of Jesus Christ will equip you with all things for life and godliness. Amen? We just read that. Amen? Because the word of God, when it's revealed to you, will open to you in Jesus Christ, His Spirit and His life. And that can change you. But reading the word intellectually applying our own mindsets to the word of God without waiting for God to give us that word. Right? It's a religious practice. And we think that because I've read the word of God, I must be fine. That's not the point. What did you get out of the word of God is what's the point. Right? So you prayed. How did you pray? Did you pray Jesus or did you pray your righteousness? Are you with me? So you worshiped, so you sang some songs. What did you express from the altar of your heart? Did you express Jesus or did you express your emotions? Don't get me wrong, nothing wrong with emotions. But emotions in Jesus are totally different from emotions in your own sorrows. So it's very important that you understand that God has given you the fullness of Jesus Christ, and we are required to unveil the fullness of Jesus Christ in things like prayer, in worship, even in the reading of the scriptures. Because it is through the fullness of Jesus Christ that everything has been given to us. Hello. The moment you replace Him, the processes of salvation come to a stop. It's very important that you understand that. The moment you replace Him, the processes of salvation come to a halt. They don't exist in any other name. You cannot be saved by any other name. You cannot be saved by your own religious efforts. You can only be saved in the name of Jesus. And everything you do in the name of Jesus, God will bless it. Amen. So that's the significance of the sin offering. Because the blood was sprinkled 7 times, the blood was signified in perfection. Are you with me? And that blood only stands in the name of Jesus. That blood only stands in the faith and love of Jesus. That blood only stands in the testimony of Jesus. It only stands in the nature of the Lord Jesus Christ. That sin offering does not stand in your merits and my merits. Because we suddenly feel a religious zeal. It's very important for us to know that. Because the veil cannot be parted by any other name except the name of Jesus. The veil can only be parted in the blood sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you listening? So when you pray, when you worship, right? That's why in this ministry we always insist, right? On that intimacy with the Lord Jesus Christ. It has to be developed. You cannot be a servant of God if you don't love Jesus. You won't be one. You cannot be one. You cannot be a prayer warrior if you do not have the love and faith of Jesus working in your heart. What prayer are you manifesting? You cannot worship God except in spirit and in truth. Spirit is the spirit of Christ, not your spirit. Truth is defined in Jesus. I am the truth, He said. You cannot worship God in any other name. You will not be allowed in. That's why people who try to do that don't know what the presence of God is really all about. Praise the Lord. So this sin offering is very important, okay? Because sin offering opens you to communion with God. Amen? And that communion with God is very important for you to understand. Because that communion with God is given to you through blood. What does that mean? That communion is ultimately receiving and realizing the faith and love of Jesus for you. The love of Jesus, the faith of Jesus, the nature of Jesus. Because it is in that nature, in that faith, and in that love that you in turn can respond to God perfectly. Hello. Praise the Lord. If you look at the life of David, he was a man of great faith, right? His great faith did not stop him from committing murder. It did not stop him from committing adultery. Am I right? The Bible says he had a heart for God. As a man could love God, David loved God. But that did not stop him from committing adultery, correct? That's why you need the faith and love of Jesus. Do you understand that very clearly?
Yeah? That's why when we try and do God's work, when we try and do things for God in our own strength, inevitably we fail. You can do nothing for God except in and by and through the name of Jesus. It won't stand. Because you will be tempted somewhere along the line to do something wrong. That's why you and I need the faith and love of Jesus. Because God is talking about perfection. You see, the sin offering opens you to the reality of what God wants to establish, perfection. And perfection is an attribute of God. And that's an attribute that God has to develop and bring into you. How is he going to do that? In the Lord Jesus Christ. Why did God send Jesus Christ to live as a man? To unfold the perfection of God in human situations and human circumstances. Ultimately, he manifested that perfection going on the cross for us. We spat on him, we tore his back, we abused him, we ridiculed him. But he never changed. He was still perfect before God. You need to understand that. He did not turn around and curse us. He had every right to do that. Because he was sinless. But he chose to love us. He chose to have a faith that would overcome our sin. And on the cross, the faith and love of Jesus attained holiness. And that's what you must understand. His faith was a holy faith. His love was a holy love. His character was manifested in holiness unto God. His forgiveness was a holy forgiveness. And that's why the sin offering is so important. So we've got nothing to boast about. Whether you are anointed to be Elijah and Moses rolled up into one, right? You still have nothing to boast about. Because you are there because he paid the price. You are there in that position because you have received something that is of the fullness of Jesus Christ. Amen. You need to understand these things very clearly. That's why the sin offering is so important to understand. Because it tells us that our righteousness is filthy rags. Hello. You cannot be righteous without God. You can only be righteous in the righteousness of God. And the sin offering is a manifestation of the righteousness of God through the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. God is unveiling his righteousness to you through the faith and love of Jesus. And that faith and that love is what enables you and me to change. Isn't that good news? That you can receive a faith that you don't have and a love that you don't have. And that faith and that love will transform your life. It will save you. That's the good news. So remember this. Salvation stands in the fullness of Jesus Christ. Take Jesus out of the picture and there is no longer salvation. Hello, it's very easy to do that. You can do that at the speed of thought. You can do that at the speed of thought by just deciding, I'm going to do this my way. I'm going to do this because I have had a great idea. I'm going to do this in my strength. I have a great idea. I have a great plan. Let me go and do it. Many years later, you will find out that your idea was not so great after all. Hello, we've seen countless pastors fall, building ministries in their own ambition, building ministries out of anointings that they received from God. But those anointings were manifested with ambition. Those anointings were manifested with pride. Those anointings were manifested with arrogance. Those anointings were manifested with greed. And ultimately, like Lucifer destroyed all the anointings, we too can destroy God's good anointings. Hello. That's why the sin offering sets the theme for everything. You want to be a son unto God, you need to understand God wants a perfect son. He wants you in the image and fullness of Jesus Christ. He's not going to accept anything else. And get this straight, he's not going to change his mind, guys. And you may be traumatized by that idea, oh my goodness, am I to be perfect? But that's the key. Through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, God communicates perfection. All you have to do is receive Jesus. If you receive more and more of Jesus, you will automatically change. That's why receiving Jesus is a rest. It is not a struggle. Amen. You have to be patient about it. God will work it inside of you, but you must supply the desire. And if you don't have the desire, ask for the desire. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's go back to the sin offering. Leviticus chapter 4. Let's read the next half of the sacrifice. From verse 7. We've done verse 7 already, verse 8. And he shall remove from it, that is from the sacrifice, all the fat of the bull of the sin offering, the fat that covers the entrails and all the fat which is on the entrails, and the two kidneys with the fat that is on them, which is on the loins, and the lobe of the liver which he shall remove with the kidneys, just as it is removed from the ox of the sacrifice of peace offerings. And the priest is to offer them up in smoke on the altar of burnt offering. But the hide of the bull and all its flesh with its head and its legs and its entrails and its refuse, that is all the rest of the bull, he is to bring out to a clean place outside the camp where the ashes are poured out and burn it on wood with fire. Where the ashes are poured out, it shall be burned. So there are two parts to the sin offering. The outside part, which is basically the body, and the inside part, which is the kidneys, the livers, the fat that covers those organs. And those were, the inside parts were washed and put on the altar. And the inside parts were fired. The outside part was taken out and it was burnt somewhere else. What does that tell you? That in the sin offering, in overcoming sin, God took for you what was inside the Lord Jesus Christ. And he consecrated that for you in his sacrifice. So it is what was inside the Lord Jesus Christ. His faith, his love, his character, his personality, his thinking, his testimony. All that was put on the altar and fired. But he was taken outside the walls of Jerusalem and he was crucified. He was made sin for us. We abused him. And all of that abuse, all of our sinful nature, we abused him on his person. Right? We abused him. Right? But on the insides, he was steadfast and true to God. He was steadfast and true to God for us. He did not react to the darkness that was being inflicted against him. He overcame that. That's why the inside parts were put on the altar. The outside part was regarded as sin. So when the Bible says he became sin, it is talking about his outside parts. His inside parts were holy unto God. Amen. Are you listening? Praise the Lord. So as you look at the fulfillment of the sin offering, it is in what Jesus expressed for you in his sacrifice. So we have talked about those things. His faith, his love, his character, his nature, his forgiveness, his thinking. Amen. All of the testimony of Jesus was on the inside. And in that inside, God is releasing to you the ability to become perfect, even as your heavenly Father is perfect. Isn't that awesome? Amen. Can we change? Of course we can change. Why can we change? Because the nature of Jesus Christ, if it's received, will definitely change you. Haven't you changed? How did you change? Did you know even how you changed? You just changed. Suddenly you realize things inside of you that you wanted, that you never wanted before. That now you want to go and listen to the Word of God. Before you could not be bothered. Who changed you? What caused you to want to listen to the Word of God? The nature and character of Jesus. Do you realize that the nature and character of Jesus that God brought inside of you actually caused you to have a new desire? Your free will has been transformed. You're listening. Do you understand how powerful it is for the free will of man to be transformed? that today we desire things that we never desired before. Today we desire things in God that we would have thought as being ridiculous in our old man. Hello. Amen. So this is the power. Right? Isn't it power to transform your nature and your character and your free will? Isn't that a manifestation of power? Do you know that that nobody else can manifest that power? That there is no power like that power that has been given to us in Christ Jesus. No other religious form can duplicate that power. Because we are talking about genuine change, guys. We are actually talking about you desiring things that you thought were ridiculous before. And it's happened. It's happening to us. It's happening to us surely but slowly but surely. It will be faster if we were able to respond to God a little bit more positively. But so often we are caught up with our own weaknesses. We think, oh my goodness, I can't do that. I can't do this. You need to understand the sin offering is telling you it's not about what you can do. It's about what God can do with you. It's about what God can do inside of you. It's about what God can do through you. Praise the Lord. Do you realize that in the realization of the sin offering, you come alive to who God is? Amen. And if you are growing the right way, you will come to understand how important it is that everything stand in God's name. That is, that God's name is not compromised. And it's so important as a Christian not to compromise the name of Jesus. You cannot be a good guy in your own efforts. You cannot be a good guy in your own thoughts. You can only be a good guy in the mindset of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is only in the testimony of Jesus that you can be saved. That's why Revelation chapter 19 verse 10 says that the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Only through the testimony of Jesus. Only in the rhema of His testimony. It is only in the rhema of His word. It is only in His spirit and His life that you can realize the prophetic. What is prophecy? Fulfillment. Right? Actual fulfillment. God is watching over His word to perform it. Jeremiah chapter 1 verses 11 and 12. Amen? God is watching over His word to perform it. That fulfillment of God's prophetic word comes only in the testimony of Jesus. Only if you hear and understand the word of God in the testimony of Jesus, which is what we are doing now with the Levitical sacrifice. We are not looking at it in its Old Testament context. We are taking it and we are looking at it in the New Testament, in the fulfillment of the law. And when you see it in the New Testament, in the name of Jesus, in the fulfillment of the law, you're seeing it with power. And the power is this, the power of actual fulfillment. God can change you. God can make you overcome weaknesses that you think today are crippling. Every kind of weakness, hurt, right? Hurt, anger, bitterness, right? Prejudice. Right? Racism, whatever it is, you can overcome these things. Amen? Because of the Lord Jesus Christ. So understand that in Jesus Christ, God has given you an awesome tomorrow. But the sin offering tells you, if you don't have the right nature, God cannot bless you. Amen? So please understand that the altar of incense that was sprinkled with blood is talking about the fragrance that comes out of the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's very important. The priest went to the altar of the incense and he put blood there. It's very important for us to understand that in that statement, God is telling you that the knowledge of Jesus Christ is the basis on which the next offering could be done. The burnt offering. Are you with me? The burnt offering of consecration. The only way you can break out of the cycle of sin is in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Otherwise, you will be stuck there, trying to religiously get out of it. Trying your best. And finding that your best is woefully inadequate. Let's put it straight. It will never, 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 never work. Hello. It's very important for you to understand that. Let's look at Matthew chapter 11, verse 11. Matthew chapter 11, verse 11. Truly I say to you, among those born of women, there has not arisen anyone greater than John the Baptist. Yet he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Praise the Lord. God is making a distinguishment. John the Baptist came out under the law. He was righteous under the law. But God is telling us something else. That in Jesus Christ, God has opened to us an entirely different reality. It's a reality described as the kingdom of heaven. Matthew is the book of the king. And therefore he talks about the kingdom of God as the kingdom of heaven. He's talking about us being unveiled in heavenly places because we are called to be sons of God. Amen. And sonship unto God in authority is manifested in heavenly places. And so he tells us, if you want to reach that level, right, you cannot live with the righteousness of John. Right? Are you with me? You cannot live with the righteousness of John because it will not reach that level. Because the righteousness of John is the righteousness of the earth. But the righteousness that is going to unveil you in the heavenly places is the righteousness of God given to you in the Lord Jesus Christ. So listen very carefully, understand it, and don't make the mistake of manifesting your Christian life in your righteousness. It's not going to work. Because God is talking about perfection and your righteousness and my righteousness, the Bible categorically states in Isaiah chapter 66 verse 4, I think, right? That our righteousness is filthy rags. Isaiah 64 verse 6, is it? Let's look at that verse, right? Isaiah. Isaiah 64 verse 6, right? For all of us have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like a filthy garment. And all of us wither like a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind take us away. Amen. So that sets the right perspective. You have to receive and realize the righteousness of God. And the righteousness of God is defined in Christ Jesus. It is defined through his sacrifice. Amen? That's why when we try to move by the Spirit in our own righteousness, we end up in trouble. We start doing funny things. Yeah? Do you realize it is inevitable that it will happen? If you don't receive and realize walking by the Spirit in the name of Jesus, you are going to be in trouble. It's only a question of time. Because the tent of meeting is only opened in the sprinkled blood of Jesus. And the moment you move out of the sprinkled blood of Jesus and try to do your own thing in your own righteousness, you are a fool. Because God is not going to recognize any other name except the name of Jesus. And we can cry and scream about it. It's not going to change anything. He is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life. There is no question about it. You can sit down and argue about it, and why must it be so, and why can't it be something else? It's never going to work. And you can scream, you can cry, you can do whatever you want to do. It's not going to change. Amen? That's the will of God. So let's do it the right way. And we will all grow in the Lord. Right? And we will unveil the fruits. Alright? Of His grace. Praise the Lord. Amen? So we are a chosen people. One last verse before we complete this session. John chapter 15. a verse that I like very much, verse 16. John 15, verse 16. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give to you. Praise the Lord. Whatever you ask in my name, very important, in my name. If you want to bear fruit in abundance, you want to bear fruit that is abiding, you want to be fruitful without seeing the fruitfulness being destroyed, then it has to stand in the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. Amen. Because those doors of perfection only stand in Jesus' name. And it's very easy to enter those doors. Just set your hope on the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And don't let that hope waver no matter what happens around you. Your hope in Jesus, let it be steadfast and true. Amen. Because when you set your hope on Jesus Christ, you will be made perfect and pure as He is perfect and pure. Amen. And that is grace upon grace. That's why it will work. Not merit upon merit. Grace upon grace. Of His fullness we have all received. Grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Amen. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for what you have given us in the Lord Jesus Christ. And there is an awesome abundance that you have given us in Christ Jesus. Your word simply tells us of His fullness we have all received, grace upon grace. Indeed, the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father, that this is your will. So let your will be open to us, Lord. Let our inward parts receive the fullness of the sin offering that was fulfilled in Christ Jesus. That we will receive and realize the faith, the love, the character and nature of Jesus Christ. That we will receive and realize His forgiveness, so that we are completely set free from every form of sickness, sin and disease, Father. We ask you, Lord, to save us by your name and to vindicate us by your power. We ask you to manifest us in your righteousness. Bless each one of us who is hearing this word, O God, through the tapes. Let each one of us, O God, receive of you, Father, what you have given us in the name of Jesus. And enable us to remember that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. Teach us never to forget that, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.